The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all these things and sneered at him. And he said to them, You justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts, for what is of human esteem is an abomination in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a bit of a kind of winding denunciation here, right? It's not always so straightforward, you know, what Jesus is getting at, but I think that the point is made with real effect. The language in the Hebrew scriptures of idolatry is always along the lines of love, trust, obey, and we see a lot of that. You know, if it's not right on the surface of this work, of this particular, you know, denunciation of Jesus, this particular warning, then it's at work, you know, just beneath the surface there. Love, trust, obey. What do we worship? You know, what do we worship? What we worship is the organizing and animating principle of our life. Yeah, organizing principle in the sense that we fit everything around what we worship. And animating in the sense of what we worship inspires us, motivates us, moves us. So the question is, yeah, what do we worship? And Jesus is pretty intent on this criticism of the Pharisees, and we pick it up even in the little, for me, one of the most decisive comments in the Gospel of Luke, which is, I think, comment of the author on what Jesus is saying. He says, the Pharisees, you know, comma, who loved money, comma, heard all these things and sneered at him. It's like, this is the most, you know, incisive point in the whole thing. Is they love money. Now think on all the many critiques, the ritual denunciations, the words of condemnation, Jesus' action in the temple, so on and so forth, right? Think about all of the action of the gospel that brings this conflict to a head. You know, what we're really looking at, the Pharisees, the organizing and animating principle of their life is money. Yeah, and love of money. So they love money. Why did they love money? Because they think it gives them what they want. Maybe it's a matter of safety, security, and the rest. But here Jesus says, you justify yourselves in the sight of others, right? They've always got an eye on the people on the outside. So the richer they are, the better they look, something like that. Yeah, the richer they are, the more powerful they are, the more people are eager to follow them and that kind of thing. So they have the love there. Their trust in money, right, it fuels their pursuit of it. Yeah, You can tell the language of, say, security, safety, prosperity, and the rest. This is all feeding into trust language. And then obedience, right? Obedience to the dictates of money. What money demands, you must do. If you love money, if you're an idolater of money, what money demands, you must do, right? So whatever it takes to grow your bank account, that's what you must do. Yeah, and of course, this is quite antithetical to the gospel of God, and even to the way that God establishes his creation with with man as his exercising his good and wise stewardship, right? He's bringing the stuff of earth to heaven in the sense that whatever is entrusted to him, whatever is entrusted to us, we're to make an offering of thanksgiving, of thankful praise to God. We're turning everything over to him. And then when we do that, we are tapping into the life of heaven for ourselves. And heaven then becomes our animating and organizing principle. But what is the life of heaven? The life of heaven is God's own life. It's his life of love, of self-giving love. So the power of heaven, yeah, is the power of self-giving love. So then, having offered everything to him in praise, in prayer, in sacrifice, we receive it all back from him, infiltrated by the power of heaven, so that we can then exercise his good stewardship over the things that he's entrusted to our care for his purposes. Yeah, that's the challenge of it all, right? Is that there's no, say, accumulation in the kingdom of God. It's all to be given. It's all to be given, both in humble and loving service, and then in wise stewardship for God's purposes. Because why here we have in the passage? Because he owns everything. Everything is God's. Yeah. I don't know how many of us have money managers. I have people around who advise me about money matters, but I don't need a money manager, believe it or not, right? But how many of us have money managers, right? People who move our money around for profit, right? If your money manager were to think for a minute, this is mine, and I will use it how I want to use it, what would you do to that money manager? If you found out about it, you know, hopefully you find out about it soon, you fire him. He's done. So what about us? We are God's money managers. So what are we doing with the things that God is entrusting to us? And this is the matter. This is then, again, what becomes the organizing principle of our life is faithfulness. It's faithfulness to God, right? This is what he has at the beginning. Yeah, if you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, right? So everything we have and everything we are is God's. It belongs to him. Yeah, and we belong to him. If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? So the idea really here, embedded here, is that in the age to come, where we have the reward of our faithfulness, we have, say, given to us as our possession proper, who knows, right? The goodness, the glory of God providing for us in every in every imaginable way, right? He's giving us what is ours as a result of our faithful stewardship, whereas what we have now is to be used for his purposes. Now, do we get that the right way around, or do we not? And then, of course, the hermeneutic, right, the key that unlocks this particular door, no one can serve two masters. So then the question is, which master do we want to serve? Want to serve God, want to serve mammon? Yeah, and understand that it's. I'm going to spend my whole life trying to allow God to disentangle me from worship of counterfeit gods. You know, because in part because I'm going to push it out and make it less personal, right? To say, in part because this is just the culture that we live in. We live in a culture that worships counterfeit gods. Our hearts are drawn into like worship. But the reality is also I have some responsibility for myself and the cultivation of worship of counterfeit gods and the desire to be freed from the worship of counterfeit gods, freed to praise God with my whole heart and my whole life. Yeah? Then everything kind of falls into place, right? So this is not any, say, commentary on the need of money, right? It would be much simpler for Jesus to come over the top and say something like, hey, you've got money? Burn it all, you know. The point is that we're kind of caught in this in between space until our hearts are totally given over to God in worship, until the love of God itself is the very foundation of our life. Yeah, and the center of our hearts, the center of our devotion and the rest. And the way that this happens is by living the life of Jesus, right? Allowing him to, right, we've been called by him, allowing him to draw us into his own life of love, which is lived in glorious exchange with the Father in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're caught up into that eternal exchange of glorifying love, right? And there we find ourselves freed for the purposes of God. There we find ourselves inspired, animated by his own life of love for the purposes of God. So again, and look, if we want to break it down, I like to do this kind of two different ways, right? One, I like to start with the big concept and draw it all the way down to like three words. In my own prayer, I like to start with three words and pull it out into the bigger concept. So wherever you want to land is fine. But here, what we can do, if all of this is like, it's just a bit too much, we just come here and say, okay, God, I want to praise you with my whole heart and my whole life. He will direct you as to how you can do that, right? And here we offer that perfect offering of praise of Christ. Jesus, I'm entrusting myself to you, God. Jesus, I love you. My whole heart I want to be given to you and praise of you. And then as we're making that offering, we're also then made fit to receive his life of love made flesh for us so that we can serve him with everything we've got. We can make that our prayer as well. I want to serve you with everything I've got. I want everything that you've entrusted to me. I want, Lord, you to help me use this for your purposes, to advance your agenda, not my own. I'm giving myself to you for the task. I know that you're equipping me, you're sustaining me, you're driving me on. You give me the strength that I need to do what I know I need to do, right? And even where I don't know what I need to do, you're showing me, you're revealing it to me. You're giving me the strength to meet the demands of love today, the demands of prayer and of love today. And so we go out in faith. This is how we make Jesus the very center of our hearts and lives. If it's not Jesus, it'll be some false god, right? It'll be some counterfeit god. It has to be Jesus. And those small acts of devotion where I say, Jesus, I love you. I want to do what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. Give me the strength. Those are the things, in fact, that make up the whole body of our good and wise stewardship. So pray those with our heart today, trusting that God wants the renewal of our entire person according to his plan, his promise, his providence, that he'll give us every good gift that we need to live faithfully to him and his purposes today.